For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number 3, our third and final on this Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. It is a round of 64 Friday, and that is a beautiful thing. Men's NCAA tournament, 16 games on the second day of the opening round in the big dance. Opening day at the round of 64 in the women's NCAA tournament with 16 games as well. So we're talking 32 college basketball games over about a 14 consecutive hour span on your Friday to set the stage for this weekend. Again, it is the most wonderful time of the sports calendar year. We continue to preview the games that you need to know for this round of 64. Friday, we'll talk the women's big dance a little bit later on, and an early sneak peek at the round of 32 matchups that we have set for all 32 teams and 16 games in action yesterday on a Thursday in the tourney. Donnie, one more hour to go, but so much to break down and preview.
Protecting the Sweet 16. That's what I'm doing in my bracket right now. Yesterday, was it a great day overall? No, it wasn't. Was it a bad day? No, it wasn't. So today, I'm just hoping, again, the important teams continue to advance. Nothing blows up the Sweet 16. Keep the big boys intact as we head towards the Elite Sweet 16 and the Elite 8 next weekend. But understand this, like, the games only get better. Like, we're talking about the first round games, which there are compelling ones and the close ones, and there will be mild upsets, and maybe even today a bigger upset. But once you get, like, to the round of 32, like, everybody feels like they deserve to be there. For and sure. You're getting the big boys playing better competition, and away you go. Like, Sweet 16 next weekend, maybe the best round overall, because then you really know, is there a true Cinderella at that point? And are they really a Cinderella? Because they probably knocked off really good competition. So I love the fact that deeper this tournament goes, like the NFL playoffs. Sure, we love the wild card round, but when everybody gets involved, including the top seeds, come to play, that's when it really gets interesting. So this weekend, phenomenal stuff. And once again, starts today at noon.
DRS, when you look at the spreads for the round of 32, there are not many that are more than just a couple of possessions. The largest number in favor of Auburn, the number one overall seed against Creighton, that's 9.5. No double-digit spreads at this moment for the round of 32. We'll see what happens on this round of 64 Friday. But, of course, we have seen a round of 64 Thursday already in the books. A couple of upset victories, some Cinderella runs beginning. McNeese knocking off Clemson. Drake beating Missouri. We also just saw some teams throttle their opponent like Gonzaga off to a 13-0 spurt against Georgia, leading 23-3 in the opening half, winning by 21. Who had the most impressive day on the round of 64 Thursday in the men's big dance? That's what we had to ask you all and fade the public. Which team had the most impressive Thursday NCAA tournament victory in the big dance? That was the question at Sports Grid on Twitter. We gave you three options. If you wanted a fourth, we asked for a reply. Arkansas holding off Kansas, winning outright as a 5.5-point dog in a game that featured a ton of notoriety and a ton of brand names from those coaching staffs. McNeese pulling off the upset over Clemson. Gonzaga absolutely routing Georgia. Or was it another? Again, at Sports Grid on Twitter, here are the results. Most people DRS backing McNeese. When you are a 12 seed, even when things are expected maybe to go your way and you win outright as a 7.5-point dog, you get that public love, 45% of the vote. DRS, are you fitting the public?
Yeah, I'm fading the public. McNeese, that was a whack game overall, man. Nobody enjoyed that game watching it through. The key word is impressive, and when impressive means you make some money on the game and you put your neck on the line. That was the Arkansas Razorbacks. What was it? What was it back in it? Was it 40 minutes of hell or 48? What was it under Nolan Richardson?
40 minutes
what was
of
the
hell, I believe.
Tagline for them? I believe it was. I think it was 40. Yeah. Or was it the length of the court? What's the length of the court, by the way? Wasn't that?
94 feet?
Yeah.
That might be right. That kind of sounds like it. We'll look it up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Keep talking. I'll look it up.
Exactly. Like Arkansas fired away. 13%, I hear people. Come on. Impressive as all get out in that victory. That's where I went. Gonzaga blowing the doors off their squad when they came right out of the gates there against Georgia. So for me, the most impressive, which is the key word, was the great basketball game that Arkansas prevailed over Kansas. How about that?
Indeed, DRS, it was 40 minutes of hell, led by those Nolan Richardson teams that played in three Final Fours in the mid-1990s. 40 minutes of hell, intense, high pressure, and fast-paced defensive basketball. Not quite the case yesterday. Did go over a total of 147.5, especially at the start. We were seeing both Arkansas and Kansas exchanging bucket for bucket for bucket. You know who did not score for the Jayhawks in the second half? Hunter Dickinson, who more than likely sees his college career come to a close. I don't think he has any more eligibility, but you do never know with Hunter Dickinson. You always could. He could argue something. Who knows? Some way or another. And, of course, John Calipari edging out Bill Self. NCAA tournament win. Producer Joe Friso confirmed this for me. 58, I believe, for Coach Cal in that victory. Moving past Bill Self for the most wins in terms or on that all-time leaderboard in terms of most wins for a head coach in the NCAA tournament. So then you get Calipari against Rick Pitino on Saturday afternoon in Providence. I was slightly surprised, DRS. That game's 2:40 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. I thought for sure it was going to be in primetime.
No. Where does everybody have a chance to watch the game at? The tournament made this move, put them in the same bracket, and said play them early where every single person, man, woman, child, can go out, have a good time, and watch this basketball game, and the ratings will reflect that. Put it in prime time. Half the country ain't watching it. Just the way it is. Got to go to bed.
6.5 point spread in favor of the Johnnies, by the way, in that 2-10 split in the bottom portion of the West region. And St. John's not a good first half team, but they find it in the second half. So live betting options on your Saturday afternoon, or if you think Arkansas can keep pace, they're getting 4.5 in the first half. Good look last night. St. John's was up by 5. Omaha easily covering as a double-digit opening half favorite, only for the Johnnies to win by 30, pulling away in the second half. I also could not vote for McNeese, so slightly fading the public because of how that game ended, ripping it out of my chest. One of the worst beats I have ever had that game somehow, some way. 44 combined first-half points. Where the 18-win ACC team scored 13 on it.
Yeah.
Still, really, it felt like a cursed day for me. It was a bad day. Purdue and High Point. High Point's worst offensive performance of the year. They score 63, dead under. That game comes back to get me over. I thought VCU's defense would be better against BYU than it was. The Cougs winning. By the way, we got a reply from somebody in the Fade the Public poll saying BYU's performance in Denver against the Rams was impressive. I would agree with that as well, Yale never really in it, but always kind of staying around, giving me hope, giving me heart palpitations. If you couldn't tell, it was not my best round of 64 Thursday, DRS.
Nah, look, maybe if you had a bigger TV, you could have invested a little bit more time and said, I can see this game clearly and absolutely knock it down at this point. That's the way it is. We had a whole day, and you can slay. How about, Ben, here's what I need you to do. Martingale the entire day. Just roll through. Start with the number in game number one, Martingale all the way through the end of the day, guaranteed to buy you a giant TV with your profitability. How about that? Guaranteed.
What is a Martingale?
That's where you like you start with, let's say, $50 in the first game, it loses.
Yeah.
Knock down $100 in the next game, that loses. Now you're up to $200. Now you're up to $400. Yeah, exactly. Gotcha. Eventually, you're going to win one of those games. Just get that big, get that bankroll rolling. Maybe call Rick up out there on the West Coast. Say, hey, Pop, hand me a few dollars here. I got a money-making venture here. Come on.
Ricky Steve, he's not a Bitcoin guy. He's a believer in that hard-earned dollar bill and cash at all points. Ricky Steve also maybe looking for a surplus as he follows his son's college basketball.
Yes, true.
And did not have a great Thursday. More from this Friday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Round of 64 Friday at the 2025 men's and women's NCAA tournament. Second day in the round of 64 in the men's big dance. Opening day in the round of 64 for the women's tourney as well. Maryland and Grand Canyon. A matchup of a 4 seed and a 13 seed, if I'm not mistaken, in the West region, right? I'm correct in saying such a thing as we get going here between the Terrapins and the Lopes, the Antelopes of GCU, who have been to the Big Dance 4 times in the last 5 years, led by a March legend formerly for Valparaiso. That would be Bryce Drew. Total 149.5, double-digit spread in favor of the Terps. 4-13 split, big number in favor of Maryland DRS. Can the Terps get a win and a cover in the round of 64?
Yeah, it's always tough with the 10.5, but I do think they can get the win and the cover. Have I watched a lot of Lopes basketball this year? No, but when you look at the metrics for them, Maryland is a great defensive team. And anytime you're a great defensive team when you're going against lower-level competition, no disrespect to Grand Canyon, but not as good as a team like Maryland, that's where I think you struggle because Maryland does everything well on defense, and that could be an issue. And you know me, Ben. I see the 10.5 points, and I say to myself, how can Grand Canyon stay inside that number here? Well, you can score on Maryland because their point distribution is 35th in the country at allowing you to score inside the arc. But you know me, I don't really care about that. If you're going to stay inside that number, the ultimate equalizer is the three-point line. You look at Grand Canyon, 31% as a team from the three-point line, 311th in volume from the three-point range, which means you're asking a team that's probably not as athletic to score at the rim against a tremendous defense like Maryland has. I just don't see it lining up. Am I betting Maryland to cover the -10.5? No, but I'm advancing them in my bracket, but it's not one of those looks where I want to take Grand Canyon. I need the three-point shot to be part of my life here. Like Liberty and Oregon, not a great matchup per se, but they can shoot the lights out from three-point range. That gives me hope. Grand Canyon here doesn't give me hope with the way their offensive footprint fits against Maryland's defense.
Donnie, this line opened at 10.5. It has basically remained at 10.5.
Yeah.
I think Maryland wins this game comfortably. You've heard of the Crab Five by now. Kevin Willard trusting his starting lineup each and every game. And that's really where things stand. Jacoby Gillespie, the point guard. Celton Miguel, Rodney Rice, and then an outstanding pair of bigs in Julian Reese, and the Big Ten Freshman of the Year and future lottery pick this summer in Derek Queen. There's not really many advantages I love for GCU, like you mentioned. The Lopes last year did play spoiler, the 12 to beat the 5, knocking out St. Mary's, and then was expected to maybe give Alabama a run. That didn't so much happen. But Grand Canyon, this year, really not as good as last year. Last year, elite defensively. This year, sound. Last year, didn't love to shoot the three. This year, they still don't love to shoot the three. But when they shot it last year, better than this year. Really, every matchup kind of favors Maryland. Here's a really good game that I love today in the East region. Also a 4-13 matchup. Arizona and Akron. The Zips, the champions of the MAC. Arizona, a team that the odds makers in the net ratings and the analytics believe a lot more in than I do. 14.5 point spread. Total for a 4-13 game, 166.5. Both teams want to play fast, and both teams can score. DRS, how competitive and high scoring is this matchup today between the Cats and the Zips?
It's like the upside on Arizona is tremendous, but so many times, so many of these past years, we've seen that really talented Arizona team crash and burn once they got into the NCAA tournament. But also, we're not talking about who's going to win this game. An unbelievable shock is if Akron wins this game and advances against Arizona. But the question mark is getting close to 15 points right now. I just told you the previous game with Grand Canyon, hey, you know what? It's a solid basketball team, but I need you to shoot that three-point shot, and I need you to play with some pace here. Well, you're going to get that with Akron. You're going to get pace, you're going to get a good offense, and you're going to get a team that shoots 37% from three-point range as a team and launches 45% of their total shots from three-point range. You take a look at Arizona's defense. They don't foul. Well, good thing is Akron doesn't give a damn, Ben, about getting to the free throw line. So for me in this game, I think a viable option would be Akron. Now, understand this. There's two ways to play these type of games. We have these big spreads because – do you think that Akron throughout the entirety of the game, Ben, can knock down three-point shot after three-point shot after three-point shot? Probably not. There's usually an instance where you go cold. Having said that, if Akron can come out of the gates and shoot, let's just say in the first half, 45-plus percent from three-point range, they'll be covering from the half. So as a dog player in this one, I don't necessarily, because I think Arizona can just wear out Akron by the end of the game, and it's just the way it is. But you can get those glimpses, which we saw yesterday from some of these teams looking for upset bids. Just play well in the first half. We'll let the chips fall in the second half. Maybe Akron first half makes a little bit more sense to me than second half. Come out firing from three-point range, hit those shots. Okay, they open up 5 of 7 from three-point range. You're going to get yourself a cover in the first half.
I love John Gross. I love this Akron team. One of the first bets I made, Akron plus 14.5, because both teams will allow you to do what both teams want to do offensively. The three-point shot is the great equalizer. The Zips have to be good, have to be efficient. The volume is certainly always there. I think Akron keeps this game within the number. Donnie, those are both 4-13 games that will take place in Seattle. Yesterday, both four seeds knocking out the 13 seed, as you might expect, both teams covering. Texas A&M, 7.5-point favorite against Yale, won that game by 9. Purdue, 7.5-point favorite against High Point, won that game by double digits. Both of those four seeds seemed susceptible, at least based on what the odds makers were telling you and what we thought could happen. 10 of the last 14 NCAA tournaments, a 13 seed has upset a 3 seed. Yesterday, nope, didn't even get a cover. Maybe we see some chaos today. DRS elsewhere as we continue to preview games. Kentucky hoping to wash away the bad taste of losing last year as a 3 seed to a 14 seed in Oakland, this year as a 3 seed, but of course a completely different coaching staff and a completely different roster. It is Mark Pope in the Cats taking on the Sun Belt champs in Troy. How do you make sense of this matchup?
It's a high-level team in Kentucky playing a lower-level team in Troy. But however, that 11.5 shows a lot of respect towards Troy. Yeah. Now, the one thing you don't like is Troy doesn't make a ton of three-point shots. But again, Ben, they shoot a ton of three-point shots. Yeah. That's the key ingredient. Troy does turn the basketball over, but Kentucky's like, we're not even going to try to steal it from you in this game. Ooh, maybe the points. Maybe the points.
Plenty more picks and previews next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A 3-14 matchup in a game today between Kentucky and Troy. DRS Midwest region only a couple of games today in that portion of the bracket where we need to figure out what's going to happen in the round of 32. Kentucky and Troy, Xavier and Illinois, those two teams, whoever wins these two games, will face off on Sunday. Kentucky, 11.5-point favorite today, taking on the Trojans, the champions of the Sun Belt. 151.5 is that total. You think Kentucky, you think offense, and correctly so. This year under Mark Pope, the ninth most efficient offensive team in the country. But you don't really think defense outside of the top 50, 57th. And as you said, a non-steal percentage of 4.7. That is 364 out of 364. Bottom of the barrel nationally in college hoops. So they're not really trying to be out there to be in line for turnovers, which of course could benefit Troy, as they're just trying to keep this game within single digits.
Exactly, and that's what you're giving a hope for. Am I saying that I got to run to the window here at 7 o'clock while I'm live on the air here on the Sports Grid Network? Like, Troy's my favorite play of the day because they don't do a lot all that well and can be negated. Like, hey, man, Troy's really good at offensive rebounding. You think that's going to be the same against Kentucky here, who's probably going to beat them up and have more of an advantage just with athletic ability? But there are some things, again, the ultimate equalizer. Yes, Kentucky does defend a three-point shot well, but they'll let you shoot it. And Troy's offense, like, oh, they're probably not going to make a three-point shot here in Milwaukee on a neutral site against a better team like Kentucky, but that's the equalizer. It's one of those games where Troy could get beat by 25 or Troy could be giving Kentucky a battle into the second half because of the three-point shot. We'll find out, but if Kentucky is as efficient as they were in SEC play, which was the best competition in the country, why can't they just slay Troy on defense, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree, DRS, but Troy's pretty sound. I think that game is compelling in Milwaukee today, 3-14 matchup from the Midwest region. Also in Milwaukee, 3-14 split in the South region. Iowa State taking on the champions from the A-Sun. That would be Lipscomb. Lenny Acuff in his sixth year there in Nashville, leading the Bisons to the big dance for the first time. First time for Lipscomb in total since 2018. This Lipscomb team, pretty efficient offensively, pretty sound on the defensive end of the floor. They love to take the three. Iowa State will allow you to shoot from beyond the arc. 14.5-point spread in favor of the Cyclones. Of course, injuries, a story. Tim Lipsy, the point guard and the Ames native, expected to give it a go. Keyshawn Gilbert, also his backcourt mate, ruled out more than likely for the entirety of the big dance. Donnie, how do you break down this game?
It's a pretty good matchup here for Lipscomb, and I'm not calling for the upset. I have Iowa State moving on and winning a couple games here and getting themselves probably into the Elite Eight or at least the Sweet 16 at this point. But 15 points, let's call it, in this game. Look, Iowa State's very good on defense, but Iowa State also, like, what's the MO for them? If you have one player, one of your stars, that's going to sit out already, another one that's banged up, do you really want to max him out this entire way and sort of took it like a Cooper Flagg type of situation? Let you see what you have, but don't get injured. But I think we should beat this team anyway. That could be a recipe for success as a cover for Lipscomb. And once again, Iowa State's calling card is defense. They love to take the basketball away, but Lipscomb doesn't just turn it over. They're not going to struggle, which means if you are a pressure defense, you can break the press. You can have success on offense, which leads to what, Ben? Open three-point shots, which is exactly what Lipscomb wants. 27th in the country. It's shooting 47% of their total shots from three-point range and making a lot of those at around 37% as a team. Iowa State's going to overwhelm Lipscomb, but once again, you see what I'm talking about here. That footprint of, if I have an underdog that likes a three-point shot, and I'm not even talking about, Ben, daggering 40% from three-point range all game long. Just if you're comfortable shooting volume three-point shots, if they go down, there's nothing the other team can do with that, because if you're trading threes for two, advantage you. So I like Lipscomb with the points in this. I don't like Lipscomb to win, but they can hang around.
I was a lot higher on Iowa State before the injuries. In fact, as I have shared the very first bet I made on the very first day of the college basketball season, Iowa State to the Final Four. I still think Iowa State wins this game. I agree with Donnie. I think the Bisons can keep it close. At least the matchup presents the opportunity for Lipscomb. Iowa State would be in for a very interesting game if they win this one, depending on what happens in the South region with North Carolina and Ole Miss today in Milwaukee as well. 2-15 matchup in the South region. That's Michigan State and Bryant. We will talk about this game more on the other side of the break. The Spartans, 17.5-point favorite. Regular season crown in the Big Ten, number 11 with Tom Izzo. Year number 30 under Tom Izzo, trying to get back to the Final Four for the first time since 2019. We'll break down MSU and Bryant, led by Phil Martelli Jr. as their head coach. That's next here on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this round of 64 Friday at the 2025 Men's NCAA Tournament. A couple of two seeds in action. Let's start with the South region. Michigan State taking on Bryant. DRS this game late night in Cleveland, Ohio. The Spartans a 17.5 point favorite against the Bryant Bears, the champions from the America East, led by Phil Martelli Jr., of course his father, Phil Martelli Sr., a coaching legend.
Great
and
man.
A conference championship this year for Bryant as well. Donnie, not sure if you've dove into the scouting report for the Bears, but everybody in their starting lineup, you want to talk about length. Bryant Bulldogs. That's
Bears.
On me.
Yeah.
Everybody in the starting lineup for Bryant, 6'6 and above. Maybe some of that length in the tempo that Bryant plays at. Can it frustrate Michigan State today?
Here's the problem. We see that big line at 16.5, and you say to yourself, well, how's Bryant going to attack in this game? Can he shoot the three-point shot? Who's the best team in the entire country at defending the three-point line? It is Michigan State. Top 10 on defense at rebounding. It is Michigan State. Effective field goal percentage, 14th overall. And you look at Bryant from the three-point line, they don't really do all that much to try to defeat you there. But Michigan State is a boring basketball team per se, because they tell us, Ben, I wish we could just take the three-point line out of basketball, because we don't use it at all, nor do we actually use it effectively at shooting 328th in the country and only 30% as a team. But the effectiveness for them is getting to the free throw line, that mid-range game, and it all works out well. I have Michigan State, obviously, moving on. But this team, if I'm looking at one game today, Ben, and I say, where's my excitement meter for it? This has to be dead last. I'm just being honest. It has to. Which, again, shout out the NCAA. Shout out the cameras right there with all the crowds walking by you, Ben. Shout out this right now. Michigan State wins this game and puts a chokehold on Bryant. But having said that, 10 o'clock, come on, man. Who's watching? Not me.
MSU, despite being one of the elite defenses, DRS, and this is one of the things I think we like to highlight, pace and tempo very different than what you do either offensively in your scoring output. You see teams that play slowly but efficiently, or what you do on the defensive end of the floor as well. Michigan State plays fast. They want to get out in transition. They want to be led by their point guard in Jeremy Fears, but they're great defensively. Bryant also plays very fast, seventh fastest tempo in all of college basketball. I still look at the Spartans, the fifth best cover team in the field of 68 that made it to the NCAA tournament. Nobody in college hoops, though, plays faster than that of Alabama, the two seed in the East region. The Crimson Tide taking on Bobby Moe. 12:40 p.m. Eastern time tip today. 21.5 point spread in favor of the Tide against Robert Morris, the champions of the Horizon League. 166 in a hook is the total. Donnie, what's the approach?
Yeah, I don't know about that 166.5. Again, we're not talking about a competition with Robert Morris that can go toe-to-toe, like, hey, we're fine. You take a look at Alabama, who's no slouch on defense, 32nd in the country in efficiency here. They won't turn you over, but come on now. They'll defend the three-point line. They'll chase you off of the three-point line, which means RMU is going to constantly score at the rim against Alabama. I just don't see it. I like points. I like teams that play up-tempo. Alabama is one of the best at doing that. They'll knock down the three-point shot. They'll shoot a lot of them. But do we really need to press the needle down as if it's 86-80 late in this game to push you over the total because you're getting an even pushback by Robert Morris? I don't see that. I'd hate to take unders, but I lean towards the under this game. And, of course, Alabama wins going away. But one of those games, again, I probably won't be involved with right off the bat at 12:40. Just sit back and see how Alabama tries to advance in this one.
DRS, this would match the second lowest total for Alabama in the last 4 weeks. And I think that's maybe where things are getting confused. Robert Morris doesn't play slow, but they don't exactly play all that much up tempo, pretty much middle of the pack. Robert Morris doesn't love to take the three. So will Alabama really care if the Colonials start hoisting? It's an interesting number at 166.5. That is very much Alabama, but I don't know if based on the matchup we get there with what Robert Morris is looking to do. The champions of the Horizon League, a great year for Robert Morris. Not sure how this matchup fits in their game against Alabama. Robert Morris, really good at facilitating the basketball if they can make it work. They have also won 10 straight entering this game against the Crimson Tide. Of course, Alabama, the two seed in the East region, Duke is the one seed. The Blue Devils, the favorites at minus 140 to win the East region to represent this portion of the bracket in the Final Four, a plus 410 price on the Crimson Tide. If Alabama wins, 21.5-point favorite. And if St. Mary's wins, what a matchup you have in the round of 32 in terms of contradiction of style. If Vanderbilt knocks off St. Mary's, an SEC affair where Vandy, for the first time, I think, since the mid-1980s, beat the Crimson Tide in both football and basketball in the same season. So that is all 16 games we have in the round of 64 on this Friday. So, Donnie, let's take an early look at the round of 32. We go in chronological order. It starts just after noon Eastern time in Providence. Purdue and the upset-minded McNeese Cowboys, led by Will Wade. 6.5-point spread in favor of the Boilermakers. The second game in Providence is one of the games, at least from a headline and storyline perspective, everybody is going to be paying attention to. St. John's and Rick Pitino. Arkansas and John Calipari, 6.5-point spread in favor of the Johnnies as well. How do you break down those two games?
Yeah, taking a look at the first one, of course, would be Purdue, because the one thing that we understand is you sort of get jaded a little bit, like, boy, how good is McNeese's defense overall? It's 59th in the country. Yesterday, you could have been confused in the first half, like, am I watching Houston play, or is this actually McNeese play of how good they were against Clemson? You're not going to get that same sort of effort in the first half that you're going to get from Purdue, because Purdue is absolutely elite at efficiency here, which means not turning the basketball over, rebounding, shooting three-point shots from 38% as a team, 55% from inside the arc. I really, and again, it's not a knock on McNeese. I'm not taking anything away from their first round victory. It was impressive, even though the final score didn't indicate how impressive it actually was. You're not going to get that type of effort from Purdue out of the first half. Purdue's not scoring under 20 points against McNeese. They'll be able to handle the pressure defense. They'll be able to rebound the basketball and make big shots when they can, which included from three-point range. So just getting a start tomorrow, I was impressed with McNeese State's victory, but I don't think it's a great matchup second round for McNeese going up against Purdue. I don't think you can bully them, steal the basketball, and say, you're going to struggle with our defense. I think Purdue wins that game going away, which means winning and covering the point spread.
Yeah, DRS, if you were going to trust any backcourt or maybe any guard in college basketball to take care of it, that would probably be Braden Smith. Purdue plays slow. McNeese plays slow. There will be a lot of pressure, but if you can get into your half-court sets and you're not turning the basketball over and you're able to make shots, unlike Clemson in the first 32 minutes or so of yesterday's game in Providence, I think this is a good matchup for the Boilermakers. Yep. Did not love that matchup for Clemson against the Pokes. I think the Boilers are in a good spot. Purdue avoiding the opening round upset against High Point as that changed our March narrative around them. We shall see. Again, St. John's and Arkansas. The Johnnies, not great out the gates. And it's been a consistent thing this year. If you think the Razorbacks can keep it close, not just a 6.5-point spread for the game overall, DRS, but a 4.5-point number in the opening half for the Hogs and the Johnnies. All right, next up on that round of 32 graphic, Michigan, Texas A&M, and Colorado, Texas Tech, and Drake. That's where things are in terms of our timeline tomorrow. A&M, a slight favorite against the Maize and Blue. Texas Tech, a 7.5-point favorite against Drake. Will the March momentum continue for Ben McCollum and his Bulldogs?
You know, it's the round of 32 is sensational all the way through. But real quick point there on that St. John's game. Without handicapping it, the way I know St. John's likes to play, Ben, like, I really think St. John's wins that game by at least double digits going away. I really believe that, because I just like the matchup with Arkansas and Kansas, the way that footprint was in that one, where I wasn't really trusting Kansas. I think you got the best set of St. John's, where not really focused in the first half, really got them together, now playing their peak basketball. I think they really take apart Arkansas in that game. And Texas A&M, from just a matchup standpoint, Michigan is not going to run away from anybody. I think that's what you have to do when you play Texas A&M. If you play that same type of style, like, we're just going to try to be big on the glass, Texas A&M will beat you there. So I have some pretty clear inputs tomorrow where I'm saying to myself, you know what? I like some of these games already here, and that's exciting.
We'll continue to look at the round of 32, the early line on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's continue getting you set for the round of 32 on Saturday, because we won't see you after the round of 64 on this Friday. We have previewed and broken down all 16 games over more than 13 consecutive hours of college basketball again. But we do have our eight round of 34 games for a Friday already set up. Purdue, McNeese, St. John's, Arkansas are set of games in Providence. Purdue, McNeese in the Midwest region, St. John's and Arkansas in the West region, Texas A&M and Michigan in the South, that game in Denver, Colorado, Texas Tech and Drake in Wichita, Kansas. The Red Raiders, a 7.5-point favorite. This also a game hailing from the West region and that portion of the bracket. Drake yesterday, DRS, controlling the game against Missouri, winning by double digits outright as a 6.5-point dog. Now getting 7.5 against a Texas Tech team I know you really, really enjoy. How close, how competitive, can Drake maybe strike yet another upset victory tomorrow?
I got to tell you, like, I do like Drake with the points. I think Texas Tech can win this basketball game in advance, which I expect them to do and have them in my bracket. But understand this, too. Like, I need to be full gas. Like, Texas Tech at full strength is a thing of beauty to watch on offense because they play like an NBA team. Give me the three-point shot. Give me another three-point shot. If that doesn't go down, give me another three-point shot, which you know, Ben, I absolutely love to see that play. But Drake does defend the three-point shot well. And also, a key ingredient yesterday that did not play, Chance McMillan, one of the best three-point shooters in the country, once again with that hockey injury upper body, which people thought he was supposed to play yesterday and didn't. I want to know if that was more, we don't need you in this one, we need you down the line. But does that mean we need you down the line, meaning I hope we win this next game so we can rest you 4 or 5 more days before we get to the Sweet 16? That is a little bit of a worry for me. It's a great basketball game, and yes, I am nervous Drake can actually pull this upset with the way they play basketball. If I do get McMillan playing that game and healthy along with the other starters, yes, Texas Tech should overpower them. They're more talented, and they're the better team. But a little bit of a pause. It's one of those, Ben, where I need to see those reports coming out early in the day. This guy's expected to play. Here's what we think. And maybe even get that leak report of, hey, he has no restrictions on his game today. But the fact that you missed a game that you couldn't play, and we're not talking about, hey, you play 4 days later. You play 24 to 36 hours later. Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that a lot from Texas Tech.
Final game on a Thursday night in Wichita. A shorter turnaround for the Red Raiders for this matchup against Drake. The Bulldogs also playing, of course, in the evening session. Yesterday, DRS against a Mizzou team that seemingly could not stop going to the over down the final 3 weeks of their SEC slate. The game was 67-57. Well under even a minimal total of 132.5. Tomorrow's total against the Red Raiders around 127.5. Drake under in 4 straight in 7 of their last 9. That's not exactly how Grant McCaslin and the Red Raiders love to play. They're a little bit slower. Nobody's slower than Drake, but they're really good defensively, running you off the three-point line. They love to take the three ball. Chance McMillan, by far, though, their best three-point shooter. Can the Big 12 Player of the Year, JT Toppin, and his size differential against Ben McCollum's Drake Bulldogs be the difference? I've got Drake in my Sweet 16. I'm waiting to probably get to a point where this game is close, find a middling opportunity live on the Red Raiders if I can to get close to this number. DRS, in the afternoon hours and through our evening time slate, let's continue with the Saturday at the round of 32. Auburn and Creighton in Lexington. Uh-oh. It is our largest spread of the round of 32. The Tigers now a 9.5-point favorite. Some market movement backing Auburn, despite the fact they lost 3 of their last 4 entering the big dance. Did not cover yesterday as well against Alabama State. Why do you think the market is buying back in on Bruce Pearl and his Tigers?
Because it's a good matchup for them. It really is. Like, when you just take a look at what Creighton did, like, hey, make shots from anywhere, he can beat anybody. Yes, that's case in point, but also understand this. If you're looking to bring that flamethrower from the three-point line, it's not against Auburn. Like, they are going to hit you with the extinguisher because they'll chase you off and defend it just about as good as anybody in the country. Yeah. So if you do take that away and say good luck inside, Auburn's got a very competent defense inside. And then also, the thing that sometimes you lose ourselves where I know Auburn's taking their punches. Like, they're awesome on defense and incredible on offense in efficiency. And you take a look at a Creighton defense where sometimes the calling card could be, well, we'll frustrate you a little bit. They don't turn you over. So if you have the number 2 most efficient offense against a defense that's not going to pester you or take the basketball away, eventually that's going to win out. I'm buying back on Auburn when I was never out on Auburn, but it seems like everybody is, and I'm not going to let that good Creighton performance cloud my vision. Auburn's better. Auburn handles their business for me.
CU 8-2-1 against the spread as an underdog this year, winning outright as a dog in their opening round game against Louisville. 5 outright victories for Greg McDermott and his Blue Jays booked as the dog this year. But Donnie, what's so fascinating about Creighton that I think we saw in full display yesterday, they love to shoot the three, but they're not great at it. And they have Ryan Kalkbrenner, who can also shoot the three, but one of the best bigs in the sport. And yet they don't get the ball down low nearly as often as I would like them to. They were elite from three yesterday. They started 1 of 7. They made 7 of their next 8 to end out the opening half and really pull away from the Cards. Yeah. That's going to be key if you're going to keep this game within that 9.5-point spread. Again, that is the largest so far for the round of 32 on this Saturday. Wisconsin, BYU, one of your favorite games, basically a money line pick 'em, total of 154.5. Houston and Gonzaga. I mean, come on. Doesn't get much better than that matchup in the round of 32. Tennessee and UCLA, total 132.5. Expected to be a slugfest between the Vols and the Bruins. Donnie, in the final minute, before we send you off to the money line, what's your favorite game? What's your favorite play for tomorrow?
Yeah, it's not Tennessee. It's not UCLA. Houston, by the way, is going to win by 4.5 points over Gonzaga. I love the fact that Gonzaga looks so damn good in that first round is getting so much respect. I look for them to just lock in and say, you know what? If this is going to be a rock fight, we'll win this by 6, 7, 8 points, but you're not covering that spread. I got Houston in that game. But BYU, Wisconsin, you look at this game and say, Donnie, both of these teams go ahead and shoot the three-point shot. Both of these teams love the three-point shot. Both of these teams already played a game in elevation where they got used to the surroundings here. I don't know about a side that I'm taking, even though I do have Wisconsin getting past this round. They had to be against VCU. But if I'm looking at props, this is my game. Three-point shot props, bring it home with BYU-Wisconsin. Yeah. Maybe my favorite game of the weekend lining up right there. I love it. Love it.
154.5 that total. Yeah. Donnie, right side, enjoy the money line. Have a great time tonight in studio for Bracket Central as well. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Friday on the early line on Sports Grid. Where does 3 hours go when you're breaking down the big dance? It absolutely flies by. It is our final segment of this Friday, our final segment of this week as we get you ready for a jam-packed and robust round of 64 Friday. 16 more games on day number 2 in the round of 64 at the men's NCAA tournament. Opening day at the round of 64 in the women's big dance as well. And a reminder, noon Eastern time, Bracket Central coverage live right here on Sports Grid. Wall-to-wall coverage all day long for the entirety of this Friday in the round of 64 begins. In that opening 3-hour slot, it's myself, it's Mike Blewett, it's James Young, our coach, live from our Midtown Manhattan studios right here in New York City. Versa NYC inside the Renaissance Hotel, 35th and 7th. If you're in the area, you want to come by. Great sports watching venue. Grab a beer, heckle us, live bet with us. Let's have some fun. Let's also set the stage for the round of 64 in the women's NCAA tournament in what we will see. My women's NCAA tourney pick 6. My champion is the championship bet that I made back in early January. I'm a big fan of this UCLA team. I really believe in what UCLA can do, led by one of the best bigs in college basketball. A 6-1 price, and maybe you are saying to yourself, well, Ben, they're the number one overall seed. That's a little bit chalky. Correct. Number one overall seed, but third best number to win a national championship. South Carolina, who has won 2 titles in 3 years, a 2-1 price. Connecticut, the second best number at plus 240. UConn on the 2 line. We'll talk about the Huskies in just a moment. I really believe in Lauren Betts, but of course you have to have great guard play to win in the month of March. Kiki Rice for UCLA does a fantastic job of running the show. UCLA in its first year in the Big Ten is exacting some revenge against its crosstown rival in USC to win that Big Ten tournament title. Only 2 losses for the Bruins this year, both against the Trojans in the regular season. Give me UCLA at plus 600 to win a national championship. The number one overall seed in the tourney, the top team in a regional one in Spokane. Who does UCLA beat to cut down the Nets? Still have a lot of belief in this Don Staley-led team. When you've won three national championships in the last 7 years, you are embarking on dynastic type of consideration. And, of course, the Gamecocks do have that. South Carolina had an interesting year. They had their 54-game SEC win streak snapped by Texas. They had their 71-game home win streak snapped by nearly 40 against UConn in Columbia. But still, the second team on that one line. I do believe South Carolina has a very solid bracket. Birmingham, Region 2. The two seed is Duke. Kara Lawson and the Blue Devils have done some great stuff. I think South Carolina will be in the women's Final Four and eventually face off in the national championship game. So elsewhere, where do I go? A little bit chalky here as well. There are lines of delineation in women's college basketball. We don't see madness nearly as much. We have started to see it more. We have started to see more parity. You used to have teams like UConn win four consecutive national championships, or under Pat Summitt, Tennessee win three, four in a row. There is more parity, but there is still those lines of distinction. For instance, when you look at the national championship odds, you've got five teams at an 8-1 number: South Carolina, UConn, UCLA, Texas, USC, in that order, before you even drop all the way off to Neil Ivey and Notre Dame at 43-1. And the Irish are a great basketball team and a three seed in Regional 3 in Birmingham. That of Texas. Could Hannah Hidalgo and Olivia Miles cause some chaos? For sure. I'm still going to go chalk. Give me Texas. I have a national championship bet on the Longhorns. And out of the other region in Spokane, where USC is the top team, I'll take the favorites to win that region in UConn. Paige Beckers is absolutely sensational. The pedigree led by Gino Auriemma, of course, can hardly be rivaled in women's college hoops. But I think the difference right now is a healthy AZ FUD for Connecticut. That's why they get to the Final Four. Much like in men's college basketball, if I'm picking a national championship winner to cut down the Nets, I'm going to go to the best player to win MOP. That's Lauren Betts, one of the best bigs in college hoops. 6'7", dominant in the post. A sleeper. Regional 4 in Spokane, Iowa playing much better basketball on the sixth line in that portion in the final month and a half of this women's college basketball season. And how about a round one best bet? South Dakota State, the champions of the Summit. They have been dominant in that league, great three-point shooting team. They knock off Oklahoma State in the opening round. Have a great weekend. How could you not? It's a big dance.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.